You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Moline. Early voting is well underway across the state of Illinois for the primary election taking place 1 week from today. There are contested races in several congressional districts in the election, and today we wanted to take a closer look at two of them. The 17th Congressional District stretches from the Quad Cities to the west, up to Rockford and down to parts of Peoria. That seat has been held by Democrat Sherry Bustos of East Moline since voters first elected her in 2012. Here to discuss that race with us is Tim Shelley. He's the news director for Peoria Public Radio. Tim, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brian.
Tim, as I mentioned, Democrat Sherry Bustos is the incumbent in the 17th District. Does she have a primary challenger this year?
So it's kind of an interesting situation. She had a primary challenger who's actually Spanky Edwards, the head of the Peoria ACLU. However, he was removed from the ballot after a petition challenge. He's currently running a write-in campaign against Sherry Bustos, but she is the only named person on the ballot on the Democratic side.
Okay. On the Republican side, we do have a contested race there. Who's running for the chance to face Bustos this fall?
So we've got two currently. One is Esther Joy King, who is an attorney up in East Moline. She's also a captain in the Army Reserve, first-time candidate. She's challenged by Bill Faywell, who was the candidate in 2018. One thing to remember about Faywell, he was initially supported by the Illinois Republican Party in 2018 until some posts came out that he had made on social media regarding the September 11th terrorist attacks and a couple other issues, which proved controversial. They then publicly pulled back their support, and they have also not endorsed anybody in this primary.
Now, there was a third candidate on the ballot at one time. Is that right?
That's correct. Eugene Farrell from Roseville was on the ballot. There was a bit of confusion with him. So what he actually did, he withdrew from the ballot, and that was registered by the Illinois State Board of Elections. However, he then came back and said that there had been an error in the withdrawal process, so he was still on the ballot. So there was a little bit of confusion about that for a while. He's since completely dropped out of the running and endorsed Bill Faywell.
And you mentioned that Faywell, at least for a time last election cycle, did have support from the state Republican Party. Has the party thrown its support behind any of the candidates this time around?
Not explicitly on the state level. On the national level, Esther Joy King has gotten a couple big endorsements. Dan Crenshaw from Texas, up in rising star in the National Republican Party. Also, Senator Tom Cotton has endorsed her as well. So she does have some major national backing behind her, but explicitly the on the national or the state levels, there has been no official party endorsement in this race so far.
Now, Tim, you attended a candidates forum for this race back in January. Were there any issues where you saw differences of opinion among the candidates?
There are a few. I would say one is probably health care. Both candidates in the race do support, retracting what is the Affordable Care Act. Esther Joy King is in favor of protecting pre-existing conditions. Both candidates are would revoke Roe versus Wade, which is the 1973 decision which legalized abortion nationwide. They both support the president on most policies, I would say. But I would say kind of the difference between them comes in Faywell is kind of running as a anti-establishment candidate. He says that he is not, because he's not backed by the state or national Republican parties, that he is the better candidate. He's actually trying to use some of those endorsements that Esther Joy King has received against her as kind of running against the establishment. So it's an interesting dynamic. Esther Joy King is she is currently advertising on the radio here in Peoria. I've heard a couple radio ads from her, and she's definitely running as somebody who's portraying themselves as a kind of the more mainstream Republican candidate.
Tim, the 17th district is one of the few in the country that voted for President Trump in 2016 while also electing a Democrat to Congress. Have you seen the Republican Party making a big push to try to swing this seat back their way?
Surprisingly, no, not really. Back in 2018, there was a businessman from Galesburg by the name of Mark Klein who was backed by the RNC. However, he dropped out of the race, and Bill Faywell became the presumptive nominee, Klein stating that he had some issues with how the National Party was attempting to run his campaign. So in 2020, Sherry Bustos, it's also worth mentioning, is the chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, whose job it is to try to get Democrats elected to the House nationwide. So she has a pretty substantial war chest. So neither Republican candidate has raised nearly that much. So though it's a district that can go Republican, it voted for Bobby Schilling, who was a Tea Party candidate back in 2010. It does not look like there's a lot of money being invested into this race by the Republican Party on the national level to try to take this seat.
Tim Shelley is the news director with Peoria Public Radio, covering the 17th District Republican primary race. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
Illinois' 15th congressional district, meanwhile, makes up of all of 29 counties and parts of four more. It stretches from portions of the St. Louis Metro east, southeast to the Kentucky border, and north to Danville on the Indiana border. That seat is open after 12-term Congressman John Shimkus announced his retirement last year, and it's drawn a lot of interest from both parties. Jim Meadows is here to discuss that primary race. He's the senior reporter for WIOL's Illinois Newsroom in Urbana. Jim, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you.
Jim, unlike the 17th district, there's not much doubt about where Illinois' 15th district has lined up politically, at least recently. It's been pretty solidly Republican, right?
I would say it was designed to elect Republicans, or rather I should say districts next to it were designed to elect Democrats, and they've taken the urban areas where those Democrats might be most likely to reside.
So just to kind of reiterate that, what, about 70% last time voted for Representative Shimkus on the Republican side?
That's right. The year before that, he had no Democratic opposition, or rather the election before that.
Now, you interviewed all eight candidates running for this seat, four from each party. Let's start with the Republicans. Who's running for that nomination?
Well, among the Republicans, we have Dr. Charles Ellington, Chuck Ellington. He's a family physician in Camargo in the northern part of the district with his medical practice in Arthur. Mary Miller is from rural Oakland in Coles County. She's married to State Representative Chris Miller. They manage their farm together, and Mary also has a degree in elementary education and is active in homeschooling, teaching children through a network of homeschools. Those are both first-time candidates. Carrie Wolf is on the school board in Altamont in Effingham County. He is the second, rather, he grew up on a farm. Darren Duncan is a farmer. From Rossville in Vermilion County. He is also the Vermilion County Treasurer.
Now, in speaking with the Republican candidates, are there any issues that seem to separate them at all?
There really doesn't seem much daylight between them. They are all avid supporters of President Trump and his policies. They all are, for instance, against abortion. They are for the Second Amendment. They support a secure border with Mexico. They are all interested in health care, but they are not supporters of the Affordable Care Act. Would like to get rid of it or change it or change it dramatically.
You know, in a district where President Trump is very popular, did any of them show any signs of disagreement with him?
No, I think they're really competing to be in agreement with him.
On the Democratic side, there are also four candidates running for that nomination. Can you tell us who they are?
Well, they include Kevin Gaither of Charleston, who was the challenger to Congressman Shimkus in 2018, winning 29.1% of the vote. Erica Weaver of Mattoon. She is a public defender for Coles County. She serves on the Mattoon School Board and is the only African-American in the race. John W. Hersey of Collinsville, down in the Metro East suburbs of St. Louis. He is a high school English teacher. And Craig Morton, Dr. Craig Morton, a pharmacist in Salem, where he also serves on the city council.
Now, one of the divides within the Democratic Party has been on health care. The more progressive wing of the party is pushing for a single-payer Medicare for All program, while moderates in the party want a public option, which would allow people to buy into Medicare without employer-provided private health insurance being eliminated. Where do Democrats in the 15th district race stand on that issue?
Well, I would say that of the four, the only one to be clearly in favor of a Medicare for All or single payer type of strategy is John W. Hersey of Collinsville. He is a self-described progressive Democrat, and he says that's the way to go. Others, I was at a candidate forum in Charleston where this specific question came up. They don't necessarily hate Medicare for All, but they just don't see it as being workable. So they're staying away for it for that reason. At least that's how they discussed it in front of an audience of Democrats.
And Jim, with the 2020 census upon us, there's been talk that the 15th congressional district could be absorbed by other downstate districts if Illinois loses a congressional seat. What effect, if any, has that had on this race?
Well, the effect is that we are seeing the less experienced, less well-funded candidates running. There were several more experienced politicians, many on the state legislature, like Mike Marin from Vermilion County, and Jason Plummer, who both considered running for this race, but ultimately decided not to. And at the same time, there's just a lot less money in the candidates' campaign chests. The two candidates who have any sort of money at all are Mary Miller and Darren Duncan. They both have over $200,000 raised so far, compared to, as cited by the Open Secrets website. Compare that to the leading candidates in the 13th district, Rodney Davis and Betsy Dirksen Londrigan, who both have $1 or $2 million.
Now, with this seat historically being very solidly on the Republican side, what did the Democrats running have to say about how they thought they could win?
I don't know if any of them actually think they can win. I hear them say things like that. Jim W. Hersey is one who specifically says there's a way to flip the 15th district, and it's by his strategy of running what he calls a values-based rather than an issues-based campaign. But they all have less money than the least well-funded Republican in the race, and it's just not a district that's known to elect Democrats. So I'm not saying it wouldn't happen. It would just be a very unusual event if a Democrat were to win.
Jim, as I mentioned, you interviewed all eight of these candidates running in the primary election. If people are interested in finding those conversations, where do they go?
They go to IllinoisNewsroom.org, where we have interviews with all eight of them and also the two Democrats running in the primary for the 13th district.
That's Jim Meadows, senior reporter for WIOL's Illinois Newsroom, discussing the 15th congressional primary race. And again, the primary election 1 week from today. Early voting is open right now. All this week, we've been exploring how the coronavirus is affecting our state. Yesterday, we spoke with Julie Pride from the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District and Monica Hendrickson from the Peoria County Health Department about some of the challenges their organizations are dealing with amidst concerns over COVID-19. At this point, we know there are some actions that are not being advised, like stocking up on face masks. We actually got a question from a listener about this through our website, askthenewsroom.org. Kimberly wants to know why the general public is being told not to use masks because they don't protect people from getting sick. At the same time, we're hearing healthcare workers need them. She says, quote, "Why is it that masks work for a person if they're a doctor or a nurse, but not for the people in the general public?" For help answering this question, we reached out to Dr. Michael Eisen. He's a professor of infectious diseases and organ transplantation at Northwestern University's Feinberg School of Medicine. Here's what he had to say.
I think this is a very important question that a lot of people may have. Part of the reason why there's differential recommendations for mask use depends on the reason why the individuals are using them. public people wearing a mask where they are not coming in close contact and frequent contact with sick patients really provides very little benefit to the recipient. Additionally, it uses masks that can't be used by people doing risky things in the hospital or coming in regular contact with patients that are known to have infection. On the other hand, staff in the hospital that are wearing masks are in direct contact with someone that they know has or strongly suspect have COVID-19. They may be doing things that generate aerosols like swabbing their nose or getting sputum from the patients. And as a result, the mask does provide protection for the individuals. Additionally, individuals in the hospital oftentimes are using N95 masks, those masks that are specially designed to prevent aerosol transmissions from viruses that may be in the air and not droplets. It's this reason that it's helpful for helping to protect healthcare workers and likely of little benefit to the public wearing them without significant close contact with known patients with COVID-19.
Again, that was Northwestern University's Dr. Michael Eisen. If you have questions about the coronavirus or how Illinois is dealing with it, you can submit them to askthenewsroom.org, and we'll do our best to get them answered. Again, that's askthenewsroom.org. Coming up after the break, we'll hear from two Illinois poet laureates. I'm Brian Moline. Stay tuned. You're listening to The 21st.